running the boards for us and taking care of that. And we've got Mr. Kevin Moore on as well. So good morning, guys.
Hello.
Morning, Joe.
Good morning. All right. So we looks like we have a good crowd. Let's take the first one up, Matt.
All right. So I'll go ahead and bring Linda in, make sure she's on the call. There we go.
Oh, wow. This is a question I have no idea how to answer. I'm kidding.
Linda, you are unmuted. Go ahead.
Hey, Linda, it's Joe. How are you?
Hi there. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine, 5x5. So what you have going on? First of all, tell us how the mastermind was. I'm sure it was great.
Oh, it was wonderful. I really, really got a lot out of it. I would highly recommend the Women's Mastermind to anybody, especially like me getting started in the note business, to make the contacts with such an amazing group of women. And plus, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, I bet it was. You know, I do a lot of the upfront speaking for Note School, and I was, and Eddie and I were just actually in a speaker mastermind for the last 3 days in, where were we, in St. Louis, and I was telling the group, I said, you know what, I said, the ladies are making up a bigger and bigger and bigger percentage of our attendees and student base, and I love it, because ladies, you know, unlike some of us men, you know, you guys make decisions and you make decisions very quickly. So I think that is a wonderful trait. Wouldn't you agree, Kevin Moore?
Absolutely. 100%.
All right. So, Linda, what do you have going on here? Looks like you've got a question on a balloon.
Yeah, so I'm buying a note that's in Michigan, and I had a bunch of questions and actually got most of them answered at the Women's Mastermind. Martha was real helpful to me. But she really thought it was a good discussion topic for a call. So my biggest issue was, I know, Joe, you use a worksheet calculator that has a lot of information about balloons, as well as, like, if you start. And I couldn't find that anywhere on the site. So
yes.
I'm wondering if you just have it yourself.
Well, it is mine, and I don't mind sharing it with you guys, and I know I'm going to get hit with 50 requests for it here in a few minutes, or even more than that. So, but if you guys would like that, just shoot me an email, and I will try to respond. That actually is a spreadsheet that some of you, I don't know if you know Ralph, but Ralph Marshall created that a few years ago. And so, me being kind of old school, I certainly don't mind sharing that with you if you would like to have it. So, let's, Matt, why don't you, hold on just a second. Why don't you turn the screen over to me, and let's put some data in on this loan and see what it is. So, Linda, do you have you've got the information as far as estimated value, yeah, sale price, and all that. So let's have that, and let's kind of plug it in and play here.
The value, $69,000.
Okay.
The selling price was $55,000.
Okay. And that's $55,000. It kind of has a built-in redundancy in here, so it takes a little longer to put it in. So what was the beginning loan amount?
$39,000.
Wow, big down payment.
They put a nice down payment.
That's great. Let's see, 39. All right, and the interest rate?
8.5.
Got a good interest rate, man. This may be the perfect loan, Kevin Moore.
Yeah, we're
I don't know about that.
Yeah, where is this?
So far, as figures, what was the original term?
120.
Gosh. Still looking good here. You're going to tell me something's wrong, though, in just a second.
Yeah.
So, okay, so tell me, what is the monthly payment?
$483.54.
Okay. All right. And the number of payments made?
25.
And the number remaining?
95.
Okay, I don't know why I don't hear more going, duh. Okay, and the unpaid balance?
33,360.27.
Okay, so let's go over here now, and let me move something around here. Well, I think I can do it here. Okay, give me just a second. I got to move some stuff around on my screen because there's stuff here for the webinar that you guys can't see, and it kind of gets in the way sometimes. Nothing mysterious, just the dashboard for the call. Okay, so I'm in it. Oh, by the way, it does balloon as well, so I need to go back over here, and we need to put that information in too. I think that was the key to this. So there actually is at 95 payments remaining. How many is remaining until the balloon?
Well, it's a 3-year balloon, so 11.
Oh, it's going to be 13 payments, right? They've made 25, and there's no, yeah. So there'd be
a 36-month balloon.
So there's 11 payments left. Did I do that right, Kevin?
Yes.
Okay. Do you show what the balloon amount should be, or do I need to figure that?
I think it's 30,533.48.
That's going to be very close, 548.
That's what Martha calculated for me.
Okay, well,
Martha, well, then I know it's right.
There you go. Okay, so let's see how. Let's talk about this just a minute, Linda. So currently the challenge with this deal is that obviously you don't think that they can will be able to refinance this and take out the balloon.
Yeah, they actually had some payment problems last year and pretty much caught up. They're a little bit behind, but it could be just the change in servicer over the last couple of months. But
right.
their taxes haven't been paid for 2014 or 2015.
Gotcha.
So okay. There's definitely some issues.
Yeah, so here's the way now. Have you quoted this for these folks, or are you buying it?
It's a Colonial purchase.
Okay. Well, so if I were, you know, to quote this, we pretty much know that this thing is not going to be able to they're not going to be able to refinance this in 11 months. That would be my thought process. But let's look at what the what it looks like if they could, and then what it would look like if they couldn't. So let's see. We would then buy, there'd be 11 payments that we would buy, and we would just buy 100% of the balloon. And so what is the buy price on this, Linda?
It's $28,350.
So let me play with this here. What is that, about a 14?
It's 13 something. Well.
So you tell me, what is it? It's 30. What is it, the price?
$28,350.
So if it's $28,350, it's a lot more than 13. I would calculate that. Gosh, let's see.
Well, it was 13 if the balloon didn't pay and you just counted it like...
Okay, okay. So, all right, well, good. So let me get to where that is. So that's payoff.
When Martha calculated it, if it did pay off, it was 27.94.
Yeah, you see what I'm doing down here? So I'm just kind of picking up numbers. So that's about right, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it did pay off... And obviously, Colonial, we're pricing this as if it won't pay off, and the more reasonable yield of 13 or so is what you would receive. Okay, so that makes sense, right?
Yep.
Okay, and everybody on the phone, just understand that so Colonial feels like as well that this is not going to be something that happens that pays off, so we've priced it accordingly. But if it did, if it were to pay off in 11 months, then you can see that the return, the yield on this is really high. So that's a good thing. So Linda, just so what was, let me hear what Martha, you know, what her feelings were on this as far as what to how to work it out, and then I'll kind of share some of mine with you as well.
Okay. Well, we talked about working with your servicer and making sure that communication was given to the people at least 6 months in advance so that they could get financing in order, if that's the route that makes sense.
Right.
But we really ended up discussing, and we didn't finish, and that's I definitely need some input still on what do you do if it doesn't look like it's going to pay off, which I think is a good chance in this case.
Right.
And how do you deal with, specifically somebody brought up, which none of us even thought about, if, you know, do you have to, if you modify the loan, do you have to go back through an RMLO process? And what if the person doesn't qualify any longer? I mean, maybe the reason they didn't pay the taxes is because they lost their job or something. I don't know.
Okay, well, let's take this a step at a time here. So first thing is I would pursue this as if they were going to be able to pay it off or refinance it. So you're exactly right. I would send out hello, have your servicer send out, hi, you know that your loan balloons and or comes due in 11 months or whatever that date would be, or in 6 months, obviously. And so here's, you need to start making preparations, and you need to go out and start searching for a lender that will refinance this loan for you. So I would proceed that way, that, hey, guys, this was the deal when this was originated. And what was the origination date on this, by the way?
3/21/14.
Interesting. So it would have had to have been a Dodd-Frank a SAFE Act loan, because you know it's January 10, 2014 is when the big dog on this kicked in. So anyway, so I would proceed as if they were going to pay it off, and I would continue to push them to go out and refinance it. Now, and if you don't, Linda, and if any time before this thing comes due, if you tell them that, well, if you can't do this, then you know we'll extend it or do something like that, then you're lost anyway. There's no way. So I would push it until the end. Now, it would be one of the things that you could do is you could just extend it. Okay, so and I would make them prove that they are out looking for an additional lender to refinance this for them. So they need to make proof of the situation that they're doing that, if you agree to extend it for 6 months or 12 months. Okay. Nothing says that you have to take that out and just completely do away with it. You could even offer to help them get into a credit repair program as well. What do you think about that, Kevin? What's your feedback on that?
Yeah, Joe, I think you're going exactly down the correct path. At this point, you know you've got somebody who's got some late pays. So we know the house, you know, we're not talking about $100,000 loan, so they're going to need to qualify for an FHA loan or a rural housing loan. And
right.
Yeah, so whereabouts is the property, Linda, in Michigan?
It's just north of Grand Rapids. It's close to the lake.
Do you remember what name of town is? Because I might be able to see it from my living room.
Oh, wow. It's in Mears, M-E-A-R-S.
Oh, it's in Mears? Yeah, it's right up the hill. Okay. Yeah, I know where you are.
Can you go by and see it? Anyone there?
Sure, go ahead. Send me the address and I'll invoice you for a six-pack because it's Cinco de Mayo Day. So.
Oh, that's right. Happy Cinco de Mayo, guys.
That's right.
So. Well, it's in the BPO that we got, which wasn't from, it was from last September, it said the house was vacant. And when I looked at the buyer's address and, you know, just Googled them, it looks like they still live in Grand Rapids. So
gotcha.
So I'm not sure if they were using it kind of as a vacation house, or they were going to rent it or something, but it, I don't know if it's up. But yeah, if you could even see if there's anyone living there, that'd be great.
So what? Yeah. So the good news is Mears is rural, so your best shot there is going to be FHA or rural housing. Right. Those would be your two strongest. And then Joe's exactly correct. If need be, extend your balloon. And I'll give you my disclaimer. My disclaimer is I'm not an attorney. I'm not giving any legal advice, and I am not a licensed loan originator anymore. But to the best of my knowledge, if you go ahead and extend the balloon, it is not considered new credit, so you probably don't need an RLMO, but I would double check.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. So all we're doing is granting these guys an extension, and your servicer will be able to help you with that. But I would look at doing that. I mean, you could even extend the balloon another. I'd give them 6 months, and then I would, and then you could possibly give them another 6 months. But yeah, you're exactly what Kevin had said there. Is you're looking at one of these rural type loans, and that's where I would direct these folks. I mean, it's going to be a home. It's going to be okay if you have to modify it and take the balloon out, because there's not 300 payments left to go on this. You know, by the time you get to the balloon, there'll be, six years, 7 years of payments left. So it's not a big deal, and you've got a great return on your money there as well. So that's exactly what I would do. I would push them in that way. The hard part of that is, really, you could take the house back in 11 months. Wanted to. I mean, that's a default. That's a breach of, the agreement, and you could foreclose on it if you wanted to do that. Now, I'm sure you probably don't want to have to do that.
Yeah.
And I would certainly give them the opportunity to give them an extension, but here's a couple of other things that you would want to do with that. And if I'm going to do that, I would make them that here's your opportunity or your chance to have them catch these payments, the taxes up. Are they paying? Is the insurance and taxes escrowed or no?
No, because they had such a big down payment. Although, if you in the servicing, it looks like the servicer paid township taxes, but none of the county taxes were ever paid.
Okay. Well, that would be that's what happened there. But so I would say, look, here's the thing. We're going to extend this for you, and again, talk to your servicer about this, and they've got attorneys there on staff as well, but talk to your servicer and say, look, I will extend this for them for 6 months or 12 months or whatever it is, but part of that is that that they catch up the taxes and or insurance. And obviously, if it comes down to you modify this and you take the balloon out of it, and again, just like Kevin said, I'm not neither one of us are attorneys or play one on TV, but I have, and it's kind of a split deal, I have some people tell me or some attorneys tell me that since you're just modifying this loan and taking out taking a balloon out of that, that it wouldn't be subject to doing this, to going back through an RMLO. As long as the payment doesn't go up and that type of thing. You're just kind of adjusting and taking out the balloon. So nothing changes except that they now owe whatever the payments would be, the balance of the payments would be. So that, but if I did modify it, I would make a requirement of that modification is that they would go ahead and set up an escrow account for the taxes and the insurance.
Idea.
But that makes it even a much better loan by doing something like that.
Yep.
And then once you do that, if you wanted to sell a front end partial on this for 60 payments and kind of play with the numbers on there, then you could come up with and probably get a lot of your money back on this and or see what it is. Mm-hmm. You can sell if there's 80. When this thing balloons in 11 months, there's 95, 85, so there's 84 payments left. So you could sell 5 years of the payments and keep the remaining 24.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, you know, that's really something that you're going to have to think about as far as, but I would kind of pursue this as send the letter, your loan balloons in 6 months, here's what you need to do, and I would not let the pressure off on them. And if it did come up and you go, okay, let me think about this for just a minute. If we can modify it and get them set up with an escrow account for taxes and insurance, that's not a bad, it's not a bad deal. It's a good return, and then we've got a more sellable partial. We could sell a partial much easier on this if that's what you wanted to do.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And they have such a large down payment, I'm assuming they don't just want to walk away from it. So.
I couldn't imagine them walking away from that. Now, have you looked at any of the free sites to see what, you know, see how that BPO, what does the BPO say it's worth? It does say it's worth 60?
Yeah, the BPO says 69, Trulia's 82.
What do you think about that, Kevin? Does that sound about right?
Could be.
That sounds like quite a bit.
Give me the street address and I'll take a quick peek. Joe, I've got a question for you on the strategy and Linda also for you. At this point, Linda, are you guys in a position where you would just soon get as much of your capital back as quickly as possible, or do you want to let this play out over the next 10, 11 months?
I have it in my self-directed IRA, so, you know, I'm just holding on to it.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
And the thought behind that, Kevin, was that question?
Because at this point, why not give them an incentive and get them and see if they can refinance right now? I just would find out sooner than later.
You know, that's another strategy there, Linda. You're that's right on point. You know, you could. There's not a whole lot of room in this to incentivize them, but if they could do that, maybe you would offer them you'd offer them $500 to help them, you know, towards their closing costs to refinance this. They've got so much equity in this that, you know, they can do a whole lot with this as far as finding someone to do that, even with the ding in their pay history there. So, and you're right about the pay history could have been simply because of the transfer servicing and all of that. But the concern for me is that we want them paying the taxes and insurance. You don't want to have to come up and pay those.
Right.
Right. The other thing, too, is if you get them to take action now, they've got a situation where this summer, when they want to relax and goof off and go boating and four-wheeling, they could have a payment skip or maybe a two-month payment skip because of the refinance.
Yeah.
Could be.
Okay. Well, I'll email you the details. Kevin.
Okay.
Sounds good. So, you know, here's, and I tell people this all the time when we're looking at whether it's the performing or the non-performing note space is, you know, when you're buying at the right price and there's a lot of meat on the bone in this deal, you've got multiple exit strategies here. So, you know, we've talked about a number of different things, and so, yeah, that's the way I feel about this. So you got a lot you can do with this.
Great. Well, I really appreciate all the input. You gave me a lot of ideas.
Good. Very good. Glad to help. All right. So Matt, you wanna take the screen back, my friend?
I will. Give me a second.
So is it still snowing in Denver?
No, it's actually getting up into the 60s and 70s in the next day.
We were talking, Matt and I were talking, maybe it was while we were on the call or before the call last week, and I said, yeah, I'm coming out to Denver tomorrow, and which was last Friday, and Matt couldn't be home last week, and he had something he had to do. So I said, how's the weather? I wanted to pull a Kevin Moore and just wear shorts and flip-flops out there, you know. And so Matt said, well, it's snowing. And sure enough, when I got there, it was on Friday afternoon, it was snowing and it was sleeting, and it did it all day Saturday, and it was doing it Sunday when I left. So there you go.
It's interesting weather out here, but it's beautiful. Not a cloud in the sky and 70s.
Yeah. There's not much. You don't get that much better when you do, because you know, as they'll tell you in Denver, Matt, there's 300 days of sunshine in Denver.
Pretty close.
Yeah. Okay, so what do we have here next from Pari?
All right. Well, Pari's got a question about buying a person a second with self-directed IRAs. Pari, go ahead.
Oh. Yes, sir.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Very well, very well. Okay, so tell us what you have here.
Well, the first lien position was for sale, and the guy who was selling said he also had a second on that same property, which he bought it using his wife's IRA. So I wanted to buy the entire lien position on that property. You know, the first one with my IRA and the second one using my wife's IRA account. Okay. You know, so I wanted to find out if it is totally legal, you know.
Okay, so it's not a, you know, what is it called? The
prohibited transaction.
Yeah. There you go, Kevin. So where are you sourcing this loan from, Corey?
A guy from Southern California in
okay,
San Diego.
So I was assuming it wasn't a colonial note. So good. Okay. So you've got a husband that owns the first in his self-directed, and you've got a wife that owns the second in her self-directed. Is that the way it is now?
The first is from his company.
Okay.
You know, the second is on his wife's IRA.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and okay. The property is in Dallas.
All right. So, have you done your due diligence on the property? I mean, have you looked? Have you got the value on that? And the value is good. What's the combined loan to value ratio of the first and second? Is there anything left there at the end? What's the amount of the first?
Amount on the first is 107.
Okay.
Second one was a little less than 10 grants.
Okay. So you got about 127, and then what's the property worth?
148.
148. So there's a little bit of room in that. House look okay?
It was recently rehabbed, looks fantastic, and the debt-to-income ratio of the borrowers is somewhere like 38 something.
Okay. So it's well under the 43.
Right.
So let's see, is this a house that are these guys are dealers, so when they originated that, how many payments have been made on this?
One.
Okay. All right. So we've got, and the borrower's credit, did they use an RMLO? I mean, did they
use an RMLO. One, the husband's credit score was on the 540s,
okay,
and the wife's credit score was on the 620s.
Okay. So, guys, let me just, for everybody else's perspective, and I know you guys had some questions on Linda's deal, so I forgot to look there. So we'll circle back to those in just a minute. And we'll take care of those because those are some great questions. So, and the reason I'm asking this for a benefit for you, Pari, and everybody else on the phone is the reason I'm asking about the borrower credit is because it really has no seasoning. So, again, if this was a 30, you know, had 3 years of seasoning, 2 years of seasoning, the credit, and you've got a good, solid, verifiable pay history, then the credit's not going to be a big issue. So, so you've got a one payment, so virtually, has the first payment been received?
Right, yes.
Okay, so, and who's servicing this? Are they, obviously...
AugustREI.com.
Okay. I don't know. Have you heard of them, Kevin? I've not heard of them.
I don't know. Maybe it's one of his own company. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Okay. Okay, yep. So, who is the wife's IRA with?
I did not ask them.
Okay, that's all right. not a big deal. Could be with Quest or, you know, one of the guys there in Texas. So what are you going to – so here's the thing. You're going to have to buy yourself – when you buy this, you're going to have to buy yourself some equity. So let's do something here, Matt. Why don't you transfer that screen back over to me? And let's just kind of go through something here real quick. What kind of return are you getting on this?
The note was written for 9.44%. He was willing to give it to me at a 10.18% max.
Okay, so here's the deal on this, guys. We've talked about this. I think it was on a Monday. Call that we talked about this, but there's two types of quotes that we can do. One is going to be a yield quote. The other is going to, or a price. The other is going to be an ITV issue. So that's where we're going with. That's where I'm going with this. So the estimated value is what, Pari?
148.
And how's the demographics on this? Is it a good area?
Oh, fantastic. All greens, you know. Okay. So
selling price was how much? 142?
Selling price, yes, 144 something.
Okay, it's not a big deal there as far as that goes. So did they? Did the borrowers put anything down on this?
Yes, whatever the difference was.
Okay, so what was the amount of the what's the amount of the first and the amount of the second? Sorry, I don't remember.
First one UPB is 107K. Okay.
And so 127, so 137, so they put about 15,000 down on this. Okay, so let's just look at the first just to kind of play with this for just a second. Ever wanted to, unless you just found an investor that had a real high tolerance for risk, the second you would never really. It's worth very little in the scheme of things, okay? Because you got a small second behind a bigger and so what's the interest rate on this one? It was
9.44. The reason why I was interested on the second is I just have about like little about 10 grand on my wife's IRA, so I thought I'd use that.
No, I totally get that. And so let's kind of look at it here and see if your buy is going to be good on this. What's the term on it?
180 months.
And there's no balloon. Straight 15-year AM.
That's right.
Okay, the monthly payment?
It was 1171 or something. Don't quote me if I'm wrong.
Is that PITI?
Yeah, PITI. Sorry, no, PI.
Okay. Okay, good. So it's 1171. They make pretty decent money. It's had one payment made on it.
Right. And
so there's 179. Okay, 179. Okay, and the unpaid balance is going to be about 106,997 or something, right?
No, the UPB was 107, you know, after the payment. So
So Kevin, what's our combined loan to value on this?
Actually, 95%. You're going to be 75. You'd be at 108 plus. You're going to be at about 84-85%.
Okay, so it's still not that bad. It's in a pretty good location. Okay, so let's go over and say, okay, let's deal with the first right now. There is no balloon, so. What are they asking for the loan?
He was asking for the remaining UPB, but then we settled down at 103.
So, Pari, is he a rent-to-own guy? So is he rehabbing and then putting people in on seller financing?
Sort of, yes.
Okay, because I think I was looking at this stuff this morning because I was looking at August. I've done a little work with them. They're a servicer out of Texas.
Okay. All right. So here's the deal. And, you know, we look at everything when we're buying a performing note. We look at the investment to value. So at, actually, I mean, if we bought this at a 10 yield, I mean, we're actually paying a little more than what it is, and I'm not sure why, but so anyway, you're buying this. What's he asking for? What can you buy it for? Less than 107, you're buying it for 105 or something like that?
103.
Okay. Actually, your yield is a little more than that. So what does that look like it would be? So it's going to be actually close to about an 11. And that puts you under an under 70 ITV on this. So what you want to be able to do at the end of the day is, if this loan went south, you've got the first, you've got the second, so you don't, you know, you can walk right in, you can foreclose on it. It's pretty quick in Texas, right. And you walk yourself out of it on the back end. Now, if you're comfortable with this 11% return, then you're good. What can you buy the second for? And what's the interest rate on the second term?
Second term is 9.99% interest, and the loan amount was a little less than 10 grand. So, you know, you can just say 10 grand. So.
Okay.
But he was willing to give it to me at 7 grand.
Okay. So
either I take the three. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Either he said take the 3K off on the first one, or take the 3K off on the second one. So okay. He said,
yeah. Whichever way you would want to do that. I mean, if you got the 10 or the close to 10 grand in your wife's IRA, which I think you did, you could certainly invest the 10 on the second and do the first. So the bottom line here is you're going to have $110,000 in a property that's worth, would we say, 148, 150, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And did you have? Did he send you their credit report?
He did not send me the credit report, but he sent me the credit scores.
Okay, and the reason I'm asking that is sometimes the scores don't reflect the true borrower's real story, and here's just a simple story as to why. I mean, it could be that this guy, since you said he had about a 540, the primary borrower, it could [S2] Right. [S1] Be that he doesn't pay anybody, or you could look at the credit report and you could go, something happened to this couple 2 years ago, either one of them lost their job or whatever it was, and their credit took a hit, and we can identify that event that happened, that these guys paid all of their stuff up until, you know, January of 2014, and then, oh my, something catastrophic happened, got sick, lost a job, something like that, and we can identify an event going, okay, I get something happened to these guys, and you can truly see it, versus they just don't pay anybody on time ever. Does that make sense, Pari?
Right. So he sent me more information on that just to add to it. I don't know if that helps. The guy is a landscaper, and the wife is the breadwinner, and she works for a medical company.
Okay. All right. So what do you think, Kevin? What do you think about this? I mean, so he's going to have about 110 in this. So his total is probably combined ITV in the first and second is what, about 80 or something like that? So
yeah,
what do you think?
Yeah, you're going to be over 80.
Yeah. So if this is something that you feel comfortable with, where do you live, Pari?
California.
Okay. All right. So here's a couple of things you could do with this. Now, you could certainly season it 2 or 3 or 4 more months and make sure that it's going to perform correctly. And what would happen if we found an investor that we could sell 60 payments to at an 8% return? And are you buying this in your IRA, this loan?
Yes.
Okay, so if we sold 60 payments of the remaining 179 at an 8 return, an 8 yield, We could sell 60 payments for $57,000. If we up that and sold 72, then that would go up to $66,000. So it really just depends on what you want to do with this long term. It's going to be in your IRA. You're a young guy, so you could sell 120 payments if you wanted to, and you've got nearly your entire investment back. Where would we have to be to get that? What, probably about 140? And so we'd be at 106. So if you bought it for, what was it, 102 or whatever it was, 100, whatever, or 100,000, we could put $6,000 in our pocket and own the, what, 39 payments on the back end. So there's a lot you could do with this. Now, I would, like I said, I would service it. I would season it a few more months. I'd probably season this 5 additional months, get 6 months of seasoning, and then you could certainly sell a partial on this. And if you wanted to, you could sell a 60-payment partial. Then, obviously, you could sell another partial on it down the road. So you could there's a lot you could do to walk yourself out of this. The only thing that I would say on this, and give me your, you know, just give us your feedback too, Kevin, do you have, and I'm not asking you how much money you have in your IRA, but if you bought this one note, are you going to have any additional funds left in your IRA if you wanted to buy a note that had a little more juice in it, say a 13 or 14% return?
No, I wouldn't. So... yeah, those funds are just sitting there. So, but okay, if you guys have any other notes, you know, which will give me a better rate on a performing note that I could buy for that funds, you know, I'm more than happy to buy it from you guys, you know.
Well, and I'm not pushing saying that, you know, you need to, yeah. The living end is going to buy, is buying, you know, you don't have to do that. It's not what I'm pushing. But what I'm getting at is there's also a factor here that would be lost opportunity cost if you were to buy something. If you were to buy, you could diversify and buy three loans with, you know, three $30,000 loans with this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, what do you think, Kevin? What would your advice be on this? What do you feel on?
All right. So here's my thoughts and then my advice. And first of all, Pari, congratulations, because you are new to the mentoring membership and you are taking action and you're trying to get your first buy done. So I applaud you for that.
Hey, I already got two from you guys.
Hey, by the way, guys, for some of you that aren't familiar with Kevin Moore, Kevin is it's the Kevin and the Kevin show. This is written out in 3 days. So Kevin Moore is working with Kevin Shortell, and Kevin is working into doing the first day and a half or so of the 3 day, and then Kevin Moore would do the second 3 day, and he's so he's been at all the 3 day events. And Kevin, you know, you've got a boatload of knowledge. You know, some of you may have met Kevin and so on, but he's not been around that long. So for those of you that don't know, Kevin has got he's a seasoned investor. Okay. So anyway, I just wanted to say that for everybody that hasn't had a chance to meet you that's on the call, Kevin. So go ahead and tell us what your feedback is on this.
All right. Well, thank you. So anyway, Pari, congratulations. What I'm looking at with this deal is, if this is going to take up a lot of your capital in your retirement fund, I would give this deal a second and a third look, because at the end of the day, what you're doing is you are buying a freshly originated loan. It has one payment has been made on it. When we look at the numbers based on the assumed value of the property, and I'm going to assume you did not get your own BPO, you're a little high on this thing. I think your exposure is a little tight. You've got a husband and wife that obviously are hardworking. If she's the breadwinner with the better credit score, that's great. But then I want to see her. I'd want to verify that she makes more money than the husband does. And then you've got a gentleman who has got a seasonal job. So there's some fluctuations. The other thing is the servicer. If you look at the servicer and they're saying they had an RLMO, it all works. The challenge is you can't see their underwriting sheet, so you really don't know what they did. But before you jump into this and tie up your capital, I'd give it a couple days, and I'd do a little more homework on it. The other thing too is remember, and Joe, you're exactly right. It's not that we're pushing, you know, our assets out over somebody else's, but you've got fresh assets getting dropped today for the titanium members, and then they'll be fresh to the platinum and diamond members next week. So there's fresh stuff coming, and there's just something about this deal that I want to do more homework on it. And then, Pari, to your question, your original question about being able to partner with your wife's IRA, I think your approach is right. There's a lot of benefits to taking a smaller balance IRA and partnering with it. What I would do is I would go to your custodian, and again, I'm going to assume that you have the same custodian that your wife does. If that's not true, you know, let me know.
No.
And just
mine is with sdiraservices.com, and hers is with Equity Trust.
Okay, so then what I would do is I would check with your custodian, because in the whole path of prohibited transactions, family members can go ahead and do stuff together, but you want it's always better to lay it out before you do it, because you don't want to have to try to unwind it once the deal's been done. Mm-hmm. So, and Joe, I'm with you. To get maximum value out of this, you're going to need to hold on to this for 6, 7, 8, maybe 9 months. And from an opportunity standpoint, you may want to take and do a comparative analysis and go, well, if I can buy some stuff that's seasoned right now and I can sell partials off them in after 2 or 3 months, if you look at the velocity factor, you can get a higher rate of return on the same amount of money because you're able to spread it out over multiple transactions.
Okay. Makes sense. Okay.
Good.
Very good. Okay. You know, and so, you know, there is an opportunity cost here as well. Just like I said, you know, would you rather invest in three smaller notes, and whether they're from us or somebody else? I mean, you can look at that and diversify into two or three different notes there, and then that you won't be in for one deal. So I would seriously sit down and play with you're a technical guy, Pari, so you could sit down and kind of run through that and decide what it is that you want to do as well. So I would look at that and kind of play with the numbers.
Okay. And I have one more question.
Sure, go ahead. And Matt, we need to get Bob Essler on there to go back. You've already talked to Bob there. Did you, Matt?
I haven't talked to him yet, no.
He says he's got some information on taxes in Michigan, so we could probably bring him on and he could address the Linda Seal too. So go ahead, Park. Sorry.
So, about this $10,000 that I have in my wife's IRA fund, you know, I was wondering if, you know, you guys have any program or something that, you know, we could use that small amount, you know, as a passive investor, you know, or do a partial with somebody, you know, a titanium member or someone else, you know, can we do that? Or
well, I would think here's what I would say, and I guess what you're saying, what you're asking, is that if you don't do this by this small partial, the second on that, what you're asking is could you would be interested in investing in a partial with one of your fellow students on a partial to deploy that $10,000 in your wife's IRA. Is that what you're asking?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So guys, here's what I would do. I haven't looked lately, Kevin. You may have looked, but I haven't looked. But I would go to I would post that on the forum and say, hey, looking to buy a partial on a note in my wife's IRA. She's got about $10,000. Who has a partial they want to sell, and so on. So what do you think about that, Kevin?
I did post it. I didn't get a response.
Okay.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. You guys need to look at that at the forum. That is your. I'll spank you, and I'll play Eddie here just a minute. We'll spank you a little bit. You need to go there, and if you're looking for somebody to buy a small partial, there you go. So
yeah, there's a deal waiting out there. You know.
There's always a deal, and guys, you know, I know you forget about that in the scheme of things, but yeah, I would certainly post it there and kind of go from there. Anything else on that, Pari?
Yeah, and Pari, to Joe's point, there are some low balance performing notes that I know we have because, heck, there was one on the board for almost 2 months that was performing, and it was under $5,000, and we actually used it as a case study, and it was a screaming deal. Yield on it was effective yield when you looked at it was almost 20%.
Send it to me. I'll buy it.
Oh, sorry, bought. You missed it. It's been there.
Okay. And here's the other thing you can do as well. Send an email to the trade desk and say, look, you know, I've got $10,000 or whatever it is in my wife's IRA, I'm looking for, a full, a note that I can buy for something less than that. And so Michelle or Tim or whatever, they'll help you, they'll point you in the right direction.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Very good. So, another great topic, Kevin. Wow, it's a good Thursday, man.
It is. That was a good one.
Okay, so Kevin, is there since you're in Michigan, looks like Bob Essler had wanted to make a comment on property taxes. Is there anything there that's noticeable that we should all know about, Kevin? Or you can put Bob on if you want to, Matt. I'll give you the screen back, bro.
And Bob is unmuted, just by the way, if you want to go ahead and call Bob.
Hello?
Hey, Bob.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, great. I was going to say, I just had one of your earlier callers was talking about taxes in Michigan, and this might be helpful to other folks, but it turned out in our particular case, our borrower had a land contract, and they had not filed their homestead exemption. And Michigan is a high-tax state. I mean, this is a $30,000 house with probably $200 a month in taxes. They're close to $2,400 a year. The one-page form that I downloaded and sent them on the PDF took their taxes down 25%, so like $50 a month, which for some of these borrowers moves the needle. And in the end of the day, it means you're more likely to get paid. But also another relevant factor is if they've been in the home for a while, which these people had, Michigan will retroactively refund up to 3 years on that. So wow. If you have a borrower with delinquent taxes, that's one way to kind of help catch things up.
Okay, good, good.
Yeah, just Google.
You sent in a PDF. Did you send it to Matt so he could post it there?
Yeah, I could send it. I just Googled Michigan land contract homestead exemption. I'll send it to you, to Matt. No problem.
Okay.
Yeah. Joe and Bob, what that is in Michigan, it's very easy to file a homestead exemption form. There are some seasonal issues with it where you have to get it in before a certain month or it doesn't count. It is retroactive, and depending on what county you're in, it'll save anywhere from about 15% to almost 60% on your tax bill.
Right. That's great. Well, we have that similarly in Florida. So the first $25,000 of value, of taxable value in Florida, if you live there, you would get a homestead exemption on. So literally on a $30,000, $40,000 value property, you take the first $25,000 off of that, and you're paying your property taxes are based on, if it's a $40,000 house on the tax rolls, you're paying taxes on $15,000 instead of $40,000. So yeah, it's a big deal in a lot of states, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So
Pari, I said hi, because I corresponded with him on Bigger Pockets and a couple other places before we got him to sign up for note school. So.
Good. Good. Very good. And Matt, I guess I could send you that little quote spreadsheet, just email it to you, and you could post it there so they could download it, and I wouldn't have to send it a bunch of times?
You could do that.
Okay, I'll do that in just a minute, but Will they be able to do it after the call if I do it after the call, or do I need to do it before we get off?
Well, both would be. I mean, you can do it afterwards also, because this will all the documents that are going to be on the that would be on the call will be on the webinar downloads. So okay. Where you go to listen to the webinars, there's going to be a document download there also, and you can download it from there. So.
Gotcha. Okay, so what I'll do that, guys, so just, you know, bear with Matt until he gets – I'll send it to Matt after we get off the call. You can go there and you can download that if you have an interest in doing it, and that'll save me having to do it a bunch of times. Okay, so Jackie was asking, why is this loan considered performing, last payment in January? What we're thinking – and I'm not sure on the reasoning on the taxes on that. I think that would be a Charles issue, I don't know, or a Charles question. If Linda, you wanted to email the trade desk and ask them, or email Charles or Angie or whatever it is. But I would think, since it's just it's May, or just, you know, the 1st of May, so it could be a servicing issue as well. I don't know if they're 4 months past due, or if they're just. They got a month or two past doing it. Like I say, it could be because of the transfer on that and so on. All right. Let's see. Wallace says, if there's time, I would like to go over a seller finance note that I have and an opportunity to purchase. I want to see if the numbers and discount make sense. Let me see what other questions. We don't have anything else today, do we, Matt?
No, we're at about 2 minutes to the hour, so.
Okay, well, we may need to hold that one until Monday then. Let's get the rest of these questions. The LTV percentage value on the offering list, the original loan on the note, or is it the UPB? Let's see. I'm not really understanding that question. The loan-to-value percentage value on the offering list refers to the original loan on the note or to the UPB. I'm thinking what Martin is asking here is the LTV is going to change as the value of the property changes and as the loan pays down. So on an original loan, if it was worth it when it was originally done, say 3 years ago, the sale price was 100 and it was worth 100, the borrower put $10,000 down, that would have been a 90% loan to value loan. So if now 3 years later the property is worth 120 and they've paid it down to 85, well, that changes the LTV on that, maybe down to 80. I don't know. I haven't done the numbers, but so that's going to be a moving number. I mean, it could be if the value was going down instead of going up, that number could change as well. So it's just going to depend on it's going to change as value goes up and the loan is paid down. So the LTV is going to change all the time. Okay. Bob Bullinger says, would he really want to buy the second? If he had to do a foreclosure, he would effectively wipe out his wife's second. I don't know, Bob. I don't know. I mean, if he's got $110,000 and the house is worth $145,000 or whatever, he's got enough room to back himself out of that for he and his wife, so I don't know that would be a big issue. But I think we've probably turned that whole thing around now where it would be better for him to diversify and do something like that based buying something else. Now, one other thing I didn't mention as well is that, you know, Pari, you could wait 6 months until you season this, but, you know, the guy may or may not sell it or not. But I think I would look the other way, and I think I'd do my calculations both ways to see what would be the best way to deploy your capital on that. Martin has one more question. Says, once you've bought a non-performing loan, that's a non-performing question, but let me read through it and see what he says here. Note, what are the specific options available, or what is the items needed to do? Example, contact owner, offer loan to mod. And the answer to that is yes. And I think Matt answered you and said put that on next on the Monday or Wednesday call as well. Okay, very good. Lisa, let's see. Yes, Lisa, I think the question to that is yes. She's just asking about Eddie and I coming to California here. Let's see, Martin, let's see. When purchasing a performing note, what would the first step be to do? Or are they usually purchased for interest gaining purposes? Well, Martin, here's the thing. If you're looking at an offering from an asset from Colonial, or if you're looking from an asset from any other for an individual that they've done as well, understand that if you're buying from Colonial, we've done a level of due diligence on that that we've gone through, and we've kind of dotted the I's and crossed the T's and done all of that as well. I'm not saying you don't need to do your own due diligence, and you do anytime you buy from anyone. But if you're buying from, and it all, guys, whether it's performing, non-performing, or performing especially, what you've got to look at is what's your goal with this, and what could I do with this? You're learning to become a deal architect, so is this something I want to buy, and is there enough room in it that I could partial off part of that and sell a piece of that to make it a better deal for myself? But really the first step is kind of to go through the what's it worth, and what does the pay history look like, and all of those factors that the Kevins teach you at a – you notice how I say that now. I like that, Kevin, more.
I like it.
The Kevins teach you at the performing class. I mean, they're going to teach you then the steps to the due diligence if you haven't been. It's – so let's look at it, and here's – let's figure the value on it, and let's look at the title and look at all of those – those six factors that we teach you. What's the borrower, the collateral, the paperwork, the pay history, and those six things that we look at that. So it's just a duplicatable process, Martin. So, but good questions as well. Robin says it would, but could buy out his wife second, keep it in the family. Yeah, sure. I mean, I think that party's going to kind of. Do a little more research on this, and maybe he can fill us in on Monday or next Thursday as to what he wants to do. So, anyway, I think I think we're about done for the day. If there's something that we didn't get to today, obviously send it to Matt so that we can get it on the next call that's out there. I am going to be in Portland tonight and at Northwest RIA tonight, and then a full day on Saturday. Eddie is going to be at San Jose RIA in San Francisco next week on Thursday, and then on Saturday I'm going to be in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, not this coming Tuesday, this next Tuesday, but the following Tuesday. And then, like a crazy idiot, Kevin Moore, I'm flying from Raleigh after I do the Tuesday night at Raleigh. I'm flying to Sacramento Wednesday morning and doing a Wednesday night there in Sacramento for 90 minutes, and then flying back to Raleigh on Thursday to do the Saturday. So any of you that are in the Portland area or the Denver area, or sorry, not the Denver area, we'll be doing a Denver 3-day next weekend in Denver as well, right, Kevin?
Yes, I will see you in Denver.
Very good. Okay, guys, so just a lot of opportunities if you're either going to be in Denver for the 3-day next weekend, or you're in the Portland area. I'll be in this area this next couple of days, and then there'll be some opportunities in Northern California and either Sacramento or San Jose. So if you need to have any questions about those or want to come out and see us, then certainly you can check the website and do those things. So, Kevin, anything you want to add to it?
Yeah, actually, if you end up doing this deal with your wife on that property down in Texas, the real answer is have her as the holder of the second foreclose you out. Right. You make more money that way.
Yep, for sure. And so, Matt, anything? I know we've got a couple of things here. Guys, why don't you just talk about that real quick, Matt, as far as Summer Summit and the entity structuring and so on.
Yeah, so we are within a month now for the Summer Summit. And of course the second, which is the Wednesday, I believe. Is that the Wednesday or third? Yeah, Wednesday.
Wednesday, yep.
There is going to be a entity structuring class by Dykes Botterford, who is considered the industry leading expert on the topic.
Actually, the second is Wednesday or Thursday. So okay. Is that going to be what Dykes' class is?
Yes, it's Thursday.
Thursday.
And And so the primary, so if you get you're just yourself, the ticket's $250, which of course goes to the Montague County Child Welfare Board charity. And if you bring a guest, the guest it would be $200. And of course, all like I said, all of that goes to charity. He gave his time for this, and so there'll be an entire day. If you are going to do it, go ahead and start. You need to register as soon as possible so that we can get.
I saw the numbers the other day, and I don't remember what they are, but it's really filling up.
Yes. So, I mean, there are a few seats left, but it's kind of one of those things, you know, if you want a chair in there, go ahead and register because we are starting to fill up on that. So early bird kind of thing. And then, of course, then after that, on that Friday and Saturday, we have the Summer Summit. The agenda for that is being finalized, and we should have the agenda coming out in the next few days for everyone to look at. So, and there's a 3-day class going on that time too. We'll take a kind of a straw poll at the end of the Summer Summit to see who's going to be staying over for that Sunday, last day of the 3-day. So that'll be something that we can do then. So you can go to that class too if you're going to stay through Sunday night. So
very good. And I am in the process right now, Matt, of sending you that little spreadsheet that I use so you can post it on there. So like I said, bear with Matt just a little bit until he can get all this stuff put together and get it on there. So that is it. Thank you, everyone. Great call, great content today. Eddie will be on Monday. Who did the Monday and Tuesday calls, Matt?
Zarina and Charles.
Very good.
Yeah.
Excellent. So, yep, Eddie and I were at that mastermind, and it was great. It was a wonderful thing. So, all right, guys. So, listen, I'm going to let everybody go. Kevin, we'll see you soon. Knock them out there in Denver. You're doing I hear great things. So, Matt, I'll talk to you soon. Everybody have a great weekend. Take care.
Have a good one.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay, bye-bye now.